the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ has ascended.
From earth to heaven.
Amen. Just a little over 40 days ago, of course, we celebrated the resurrection of Christ at Holy Pascha, and at that time we all got a taste of the paschal joy in the kingdom of heaven. But if you go back and look at what happened with the disciples after Christ's resurrection, they didn't quite understand everything right away. It took them a little bit longer to really understand that Christ had truly risen from the dead. Christ appeared to them many times, and at first they were frightened and thought that, you know, he wasn't really Jesus, it was just some spirit or some ghost or something. But then Christ reassured them. You know, the time when he appeared, when Thomas was with him, he invited Thomas to touch his hands and his side. And then he revealed himself also to the myrrh-bearing women and to Luke and Cleopas on the road to Emmaus. And he ate fish and honeycomb to show that he had a body and was not a ghost. And gradually the disciples came to faith, and they followed him to the Mount of Olives, where he commanded them to return to Jerusalem and wait until they received the Holy Spirit that was to come on the day of Pentecost. And of course, Christ ascended into heaven. Well, just like those disciples in those times, Christ has also been leading us through his Holy Church into greater faith during these 40 days after Pascha. And each of the themes of the Sunday Gospels have to do with building greater faith in Christ. And the first Sunday after Pascha was Thomas Sunday, and of course Thomas came to faith really through his senses, touching Christ's wounds. Of course, Christ said, "Blessed are those that have not seen me and yet believed." But the myrrh-bearing women also came to great faith by their love for Christ, and they were rewarded by Christ appearing to them. And then in the miracle of the paralyzed man's healing at the pool of Bethesda, we see how this man came to faith in Christ by never giving up. He showed his great virtue of patience, hope, and perseverance, and so he was healed. And in the encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well, she came to faith really through repentance. When Christ revealed her sins, she chose not to turn away, but rather confess her sins in repentance and was brought to faith. And she brought a whole city to faith as a result. And last Sunday, the blind man demonstrated unquestioning obedience and so came to faith. Remember, Christ smeared mud on his eyes and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and his sight was restored, and then he learned that Christ was the promised Messiah. And then this past Thursday, we celebrated the Feast of the Ascension, which is really the culmination, the consummation of Christ's ministry on earth. After witnessing him being taken up to heaven, the disciples rejoiced because now their faith was fully confirmed, and Christ assured them that he would be with them always and promised that the Holy Spirit would come to them. Well, this brings us to today's theme, which is this Sunday of the Holy Fathers of the First Ecumenical Council. And this council was convened in 325 AD. This is following the conversion of the Emperor Constantine. And it was primarily to address the heretical teaching of a priest from Alexandria whose name was Arius. And Father Alexander Mean says that the First Ecumenical Council defended the central truth of our faith, a truth that is not just a matter of the intellect, but is the focus of our salvation, of our life here and now. He goes on to say about Arius that Arius said, although Christ was indeed divine, he was not the supreme God, but one of the created beings created by the supreme God. But that does not mean that the one who lived on earth in the form of a man, who suffered, rejoiced, grew sad or weary from travel, who himself bore all weaknesses except sin, is the same supreme creator who made everything. Jesus Christ is really like a lower God, second in rank, a created being, and this is what Arius taught. And so Father Alexander says that if the Holy Fathers of that time had not realized how dangerous this doctrine was, the whole of Christian doctrine would have become fundamentally distorted. Today, the groups like the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and other similar heretical sects hold Arian views, just like taught by Arius in those days. In fact, on the official Jehovah's Witness website, it states in the front homepage, they do not worship Jesus as they do not believe that he is Almighty God. So they don't make any bones about it. But one of the great fruits of the First Ecumenical Council was the Nicene Creed, also known as the symbol of faith. And this creed is a concise summary of all the truths of the Christian faith. And in particular, the creed is divided into 12 articles. And the second article of the creed refutes Arius' heresy when it says, I believe, in one Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, only begotten of the Father before all ages, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not made, of one essence with the Father, by whom all things were made. In other words, begotten, not made. See, God didn't create Jesus the way he created us. You know, we're created, or God created the angels. He created the heavens and the earth and everything else. But he didn't create Jesus because Jesus is God. He's the second person of the Holy Trinity. And so, he's of one essence with the Father. That's why when Jesus Christ says in the Gospel, I and my Father are one. Or when Philip says, Lord, show us the Father. And then what does the Lord say? Philip, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So this confirms that the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was not created, but rather that he was begotten of the Father. And about this, this is kind of a mysterious thing, but in describing the mystery of the Holy Trinity, St. John Damascene of Damascus wrote, as fire and the light proceeding from it exist together, and as light being begotten from fire always abides in it and is not at all separated from it, thus the Son is begotten of the Father, in no way separated from him. So in other words, you see a fire burning, you know, a candle, and the light comes from it, but there's really no separation between the light and the fire. I mean, it's all one thing, you know. So that's, we can say that the light is begotten of the fire, but it's not separate. See, that's the important distinction. In the canon of preparation for Holy Communion, we read the following prayer. From a virgin didst thou come, not as an ambassador, nor as an angel, but the very Lord himself incarnate, and did save me the whole man. So in other words, it was really Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. But if it wasn't him, if Arius was right, how could Jesus have saved mankind by uniting our human nature with his divine nature? Because, you know, he really wouldn't have had a divine nature. He wouldn't have really been God. He just would have been, you know, some kind of angel or created being. As St. Athanasius the Great said, you know, God became man so that man might become like God. And this is why it is so important for us to understand our faith, so that we do not fall into errors and heresies that might lead us astray. And as Father Alexander Bean again said, so let us try to explore all that the Church and the Holy Scriptures reveals to us with both our hearts and minds. And then we will begin to understand that the truth of our faith has been given to us for our benefit, because Christ wants our life here to be already a part of eternity and has opened up the way for this to come about. May they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Amen.